Welcome to Renee's Book Talk. This is Thursday, July 31st. It's 10 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, and I'm your host, Yolanda Renee, coming to you live from the famous Zombie Playground of Pennsylvania. We have got a fantastic show for you tonight. Renee's Book Talk is all about filmmaking with Mike Lombardo, a.k.a. Dr. Chud, writer, producer, and director of Real Splatter Films. He will be taking your calls at 347-215-9536 and answering your questions via the chat room. I would like to give a little bit of an introduction for Mike. He's 21 years old. He runs Real Splatter Production, an indie film troupe based in East Petersburg, Pennsylvania. He makes splatter comedy short films. Their tagline is "Putting the Laughter Back in Slaughter." He describes his work as not straight horror. They don't do scary. It's more akin to bizarre and violent comedy. And if you had the time and the chance to check it out before tonight's show, I think that's been proven. Mike is the writer, director, FX artist for all the movies. He's been at it for 6 years and has no film school experience or formal training. He is completely self-taught. And you can check out his short films at www.reelsplatter.com. That's reelsplatter.com. It's on YouTube and MySpace as well. His films have been becoming quite popular. Mike, welcome to Renee's Book Talk.
Howdy, Renee. It's good to be here.
It's good to have you here. I'm really interested in your recent movie. It's zombie-themed commercial for a video store or a game store? What was
Brady's
it?
Brady's Games and Antiques commercial, yes.
Brady's Games and Antiques, did you say?
Yes. It is a store that's located, I believe, in Reading or Reims, PA. I'm not quite sure where we shot that. It was a while ago. But he sells old vintage arcade games, and he had contacted us and said, I'd like you guys to do a commercial. I'm a big fan of your stuff. I want something gory and funny. So he pretty much gave me a free rein and to do whatever I wanted. So we kind of came up with the concept of the zombies playing arcade games, and it was a whole lot of fun. It was really popular. We have a couple thousand hits. I mean, we've got over... Geez, I don't even know. I think it's over 40,000 hits now. It's huge.
It was very interesting, and everyone that I showed it to in the family really enjoyed it, in spite of the munching on humans, I mean. But that's kind of the theme of all your movies, isn't it?
Yeah, we definitely we go for the extreme violence end of things. Like you had said before, our description, we're not really straight horror. We're more just really violent comedy. I've got a really, really sick sense of humor. I mean, obviously, I think that shows pretty well. So if you watch any of our movies, the one thing you're pretty much guaranteed to see is lots and lots of carnage. The redder the better is the motto we use when we're shooting something.
There's a question from the chat room already, and they're wondering if that is airing on local TV around here. I haven't seen it.
Oh, I wish. We've actually talked about that. Some buddies of, well, actually, they became buddies of mine after the commercial. We're actually working at the local PBS, the public broadcasting station around here, and they had tried to get it on, but their manager would not allow it for
too
some
violent.
Unknown reason. I'm assuming so. I think that somewhere among the intestine tearing and the blood gushing that it just wasn't appropriate for the Saturday morning Sesame Street crowd.
Yeah, but they could have done it in black and white or cut some of that, you know, made it less.
Well, they could have, but I think that would have really destroyed the artistic intention I had with all that gratuitous violence. You know?
Artistic intention, you sound like a true artist. I love it. Don't fool with my work. That's just like an author, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, that's the way it is. I try to shy away from using the A word, artist, because
Why would you shy away from that?
I don't. That's just a joke. I do definitely try to express myself artistically through all the movies, even though it's sometimes kind of not so apparent, you know, between the grotesque comedy and the gore. Each one of those movies does have something that I'm trying to get across or say, whether it be too personal for people that don't know me to, you know, to really pick up on, or, you know, it just could be something that's pretty blatant, like our movie Demonstration of the Dead that we just shot. That was making fun of, you know, protest, like 14-year-olds that go out and protest things that they don't really know anything about. That was the thing with zombies, and Brian Keane was actually in that. That was a whole lot of fun. That's probably the best example I can give of me trying to convey some sort of message or satire through one of the movies.
That makes sense. And some very famous people were in Demonstration of the Dead. Brian Keane?
Oh, I wouldn't quite call Brian Keane famous, but now, Brian Keane is actually probably one of my favorite authors. I know the one guy in here, Bamfer, in the chat room, that's Jeff. He's actually shooting a short film version of Brian Keane's short story, The Ties That Bind, that's supposed to be shooting in New Jersey in September. So I'm excited to see that. Brian Keane is one of the best authors I've ever read. He writes phenomenal books about zombies and ghouls and satyrs and all sorts of horrible, disgusting things. And he lives in York, Pennsylvania, and he was lucky enough to, we were lucky enough to have him in the movie. We go to his book signings religiously, and we were talking to him, and he had said that he would be in one of our movies. So I called him up. I talked to him online for a little bit, and he was gung-ho about it. We met up at a book signing, went back to his place, and shot his scene, which was pretty fun. We didn't ask him to wave a Magnum in our face. That was kind of his idea, but it turned out pretty interesting, if you've seen the movie.
Actually, it was very good. It was excellent. I enjoyed it.
Yes, I think, I saw Gorebeast in the chat room. He's also a big fan of Brian Keane. He's definitely a very cool guy. Anyone out there that has not yet read one of his books, you definitely need to go out to your bookstore and you need to read some Brian Keane, especially The Rise. It's one of the best zombie stories I've ever read, and I've read a lot.
So what influenced you? I mean, what zombie movie was your great influence?
As far as zombie movies go, one of my favorites would probably be Peter Jackson's Dead Alive. That's notorious for being one of the most violent movies ever made. I think they use something like 300 gallons of blood. It's also one of the most hilarious comedies ever made. And when I was a kid, I had seen, that movie when I was like 11, I think, something probably even younger than that, and it just blew my mind that something so grotesque could be so hilarious. It's basically, think of it as a Three Stooges episode of gore. And that just blew my mind, and it influenced me a lot. The same with George Romero's classic Dawn of the Dead. Not so much on the comedy side, at least not to normal people, but I thought it was funny. That was another huge influence on me. So, you know, I'm a zombie junkie. I love zombie movies.
Yeah, I kind of get that impression looking at your work.
Yeah, we've done a lot of zombie stuff.
So tell me about your name, Dr. Chud. How did you get that? I can't imagine, but go ahead and explain it.
Dr. Chud, that's actually an interesting story. At least I think so. I guess I'll let everyone else be the judge of that. Chud is an 80s movie. It's one of my favorite movies. It's about hobos that live in the sewers of New York City, and they become mutated by toxic waste. Then they become Chuds, which is an acronym for Cannibalistic Humanoid Underground Dwellers. Well, I've been a huge fan of that movie since I was about 8 years old, and I watched that movie religiously. And when I was a little bit younger, a couple of years ago, I saw a movie from Rob Zombie called House of a Thousand Corpses. And there was a character named Dr. Satan, and one of the characters in the movie continuously says, Dr. Satan, over and over again, which I thought was pretty funny. So I started doing it, and then eventually, as I was looking at my DVD collection, I saw Chud and said, Dr. Chud, and I was like, wow, what a great name. So I had named our gas mask clad logo Dr. Chud, and it just kind of stuck. And the actual character of Dr. Chud, if you can see him on my website, is a guy in a gas mask with a trench coat and end is near sign. I dress like that on a regular basis and just go out to screw with people by standing on the side of the road professing the apocalypse. And it became our logo because ever since I was a kid, I felt kind of alienated from my family and, you know, normal people because I'm a weird guy. I mean, not alienated in a bad way. I just was into very strange things. So as we started making movies, it kind of became a symbol for our company because it's not necessarily horror. It's not necessarily comedy. It's just kind of weird, like me. So that became our logo, that's also my nickname now, is Dr. Chud, because I think that it embodies my strange personality and sense of humor pretty well. So that's why we got the name Dr. Chud, and I actually have a tattoo of him on my arm right now. It's in production. It's Dr. Chud ripping out of my arm through my skin with film coming out. That should be, I actually have a documentary called Dr. Chud Gets Inked coming out soon that will have the entire process from start to finish. So check, well, it's not done yet, but look for it in a couple weeks.
Yeah, I saw that on your website today. I'll be looking forward to that.
Yeah, if you've never seen a tattoo get done, then it'll be pretty interesting. And if you, yeah, I'm sorry, I'm kind of stuttering. I'm a little bit wired right now.
That's all
right.
I
noticed on your MySpace the other day when you said you were going to watch all the movies, your current mood was nauseated. That
well, you know something? I like horror movies, and I like monster movies, but the worst movies for me are the zombies because the worst monsters are the human monsters.
I agree.
They're the ones. They're the ones that give me nightmares.
Well, I've never had nightmares because of zombie movies, but I can definitely see where people are afraid of them.
I read Bad Moon Rising in one day before my interview with Jonathan Mayberry, and I had nightmares for a week just reading the book. But see, I'm extremely sensitive to that stuff.
Well, it's understandable. Normal people generally are.
Oh, and you don't consider yourself normal at all, do you?
Not anymore. So I should hope that whereas Bad Moon Rising gave you nightmares, I hope that I induced vomiting at some point when you tried to eat lunch.
Let's just say I didn't look at the screen during some of the parts because I just simply can't.
Well, that's just understandable. We've had actually two people have told me that I've made them vomit because of movies. Hopefully not just looking at me, but it was the movies that ended up doing it.
Yes,
but,
yes.
Our movie Skylar Falange Zombie Hunter, during the end, well, half the movie is a guy being eaten.
Yes.
But there's a scene where the hero gets his intestines pulled out in
yes.
a grotesque manner, and someone actually threw up because of that.
I can believe that. You know, when I saw the movie, The Night of the Living Dead,
mm-hmm.
I sat there with my hands covering my face most of that movie, and the one time I looked up, that was what was happening. I cannot get that scene out of my head. I never have, and I probably never will after watching your shows.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that.
Well, you achieved your goal.
Yeah, Night of the Living Dead is the first flesh-eating zombie movie, so if you're going to get traumatized by any of them, that's probably the best one to have it happen with.
Yes, and I still like, you know, Dawn of the Dead, Shaun of the Dead, all those.
You are speaking my language, Renee.
but I have to turn away at some of the scenes, I will admit that. So tell the listeners real quick where to find your work, because I want to make sure that everybody can get a chance to see your movies.
Oh, you can check out all of our short films at our website, www.realsplatter.com. That's real, R-E-E-L, not like real as in actual, it's real like a reel of film. You see, because it's a really clever pun, right? Yeah. or you can go to our MySpace, it's myspace.com/realsplatter, same spelling. And if you want to subscribe to our YouTube channel, which I highly recommend, you should go to whatever the link to that is, especially a jumble of letters and numbers, and I don't recall it at the moment. But you can check all that stuff out. You can even just Google Real Splatter, and I'm sure that'll come up. We update the MySpace a lot more regularly on our website because I'm very lazy. But you should check out the MySpace, friend request us, talk to us. I always respond to messages. You know, I'm a very available guy. I'd love to hear what you guys think about the movies, and gals, rather. So, you know, if you ever want to get in touch with me, I think my email address is up on here, too. If you ever want filmmaking advice, pretty much anything, I'm here for it.
Okay, that's excellent. We've got a few people in the on the switchboard. Can I open a mic and have someone speak directly to you?
I would love to open a mic.
Okay, I'm going to open 618. 618.
Okay.
You're on the air, 618. Go ahead. Talk to Mike.
Hey, Mike. What's up?
Hey, this is Joshua?
Yeah, this is Joshua.
Howdy. This is Joshua. He runs J-Man Films. You guys should check him out on MySpace. How you doing, Joshua?
Man, I'm doing good. But what I called was, I've been listening for the past few minutes. And first of all, what's your name, miss?
My name's Renee.
Renee?
Mm-hmm.
You think that stuff is disgusting? You should see his some of his other stuff because he is one gore special effects just master.
I watched all his movies on that are online. I watched them all this morning.
for a shoestring budget, that stuff is just crazy. It is, you know, low budget, right, Mike?
Oh, it's no budget. Our budget,
no budget
comes from people buying T-shirts and whatever I can panhandle.
Huh? I'm sorry, I'm with friends right now, so I'm having trouble hearing things.
Yeah, that's all right. Basically, whatever people are kind enough to buy our T-shirts and DVDs and whatever I can rob off of our victims is generally how we fund our movies. That and I supplement with my wages working as a dough slinger at a local pizza shop.
Yeah.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. It's
okay.
Just like
what,
I had said, hard hearing things.
That's all right.
But I really enjoy your homemade roofies.
Well, thank you.
You hardly ever show that around. Isn't that one of your really old ones?
It's not too old. We made that about 2 years ago. Homemade roofies is not nearly, well, actually, it is probably as horrible as the title would make it seem. A lot of people were very offended by that movie for whatever reason. Personally, I don't understand it. I guess if you're offended by necrophilia and date rape, it might bother you, but it's all in good fun.
I think any normal person would be offended by that stuff.
Yeah, well, that's actually one of our most popular shorts, too. A lot of people like that one. That's one of my personal favorites just because I think that the comedy is so outrageously disgusting that it's just a good time. Sitting next to someone when they watch that for the first time is a pretty good feeling, unless they hit me and leave.
Yeah,
but
I know.
That doesn't happen too often.
I really like that... the way you bash the head in.
Oh, with a hammer. Thank you. I'm a big fan of the hammer bash too.
Yeah. I really enjoyed the way that had happened, but I just wanted to call in and just bow down on my knees and worship you for everything that you're doing. Because
I appreciate that.
The way I look at it is you're one that's willing to step into that place that any normal person could go into. But they just so scared, you just step right into it, and you're like, you know what, there's no limits, you know? And
well,
you just do you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, I definitely understand what you're saying. The style of comedy that we usually do doesn't make me the most popular person sometimes, but, you know, when it comes right down to it, you know, people need to get a sense of humor. I mean, things that I make jokes about are pretty disgusting, but... I think that they're, you know, I think it's funny. Obviously, you think it's funny. So, I mean, I'm doing my job right, I guess, if I'm entertaining people.
What I hate, what I like about you and hack movies and when I write, I like to think that I have no limits because I hate them boundary-pushing comedians or whatever, horror filmmakers, where they're like, well, I'm going to make fun of this person's religion or whatever, or I'm going to make fun of this. But I can't make fun of this because I, you know, that stuff, you know, is very offensive. You know what I'm saying? I just look at everything. What's offensive today won't be tomorrow.
Oh, definitely. The way that society is progressing now, which don't interpret this as me saying it's a bad thing. I think people are becoming much more open-minded and they're able to tolerate incredibly offensive humor like ours. And I know that trauma has been, they've been pushing the boundaries of poor taste for 20 years now. I think it's actually 30 years now. Trauma is a huge influence on me. They're great. Our buddies over at HackMovies.com, Kevin Strange, I know Josh was familiar with them. They push the envelope of poor taste just as much as we do. They're also very cool guys you should all check out. But, yeah, I think that people are generally pretty, you know, they respond very well to this type of stuff. I mean, it's offensive, but I think it's funny. You think it's funny? I think everyone should think it's funny.
Thank you, Josh, for calling in. We've got a couple more people on the line, but I wanted to ask Mike, when did you start Real Splatter, and how did you get it started?
Well, we started Real Splatter back in the summer of 2003 with a movie called Gore Zord of the Max Time 3. If anyone out there wants to see an example of how not to make a very good short film, you should check that out. That was just, we found some free bikes on the side of the road and started hitting each other with them, and it was just a stupid collection of inside jokes from a cartoon called Rejected that we thought was funny. We were like 14 at the time. And then our next movie we did right after that was called Manhunt. I was an impressionable teenager. And that's when I really started to try to get points across with the movies. That was about how people were blaming video games and movies for Columbine and other tragedies like that. And I think that's not true at all. So we made a movie kind of making fun of the whole controversy. And then as the years went on, you know, I started to get a lot more serious about real splatter. I had wanted to make movies since I was a kid, and I finally got the, you know, the resources, you know, a video camera, and a bunch of friends that were either, you know, into it or dumb enough to listen to what I said. So we started making movies that would ruin any future in politics they've ever had.
That makes sense. Tell me a little bit about wearing the different hats. I mean, you're a writer, a director, and a producer.
Well, that came more out of necessity than anything else. Since I was a kid, I've been, you know, listening to DVD commentaries, behind-the-scenes specials, just talking to other people online. I learned how to do all this stuff. And, you know, when you're making an independent film, you probably have about four people that are willing to help you out. And out of those four people, most of them probably aren't going to know what they're doing. So it pays to have at least one person on set that can pretend. And that's my job. I don't want anyone to misconstrue when it says that I'm self-taught, that I know what I'm doing. I've just been extremely lucky over the past couple of years. You know, it's difficult, but, you know, you learn as you go, and I think that that's how you do it. You know, you got to just get out there and try it. I mean, if you don't try it, then you're never going to learn.
I was curious about your family and the support they give you. I mean, because this is a very odd pursuit to take. How were they as far as what you tried to do? And
well, my family's interesting. I have three brothers and obviously parents. I don't get along with any of them in this sense. Like, they don't understand anything of what I do. I mean, they don't give me crap about it. They support it in their own way, but they would never begin to understand the depth of depravity that I delve into on any given day when I'm writing a script or making a movie. They just kind of smile and nod and tell me that it's either disgusting or weird. And then, you know, they tell their friends. Sometimes they laugh, sometimes they stare at me. But, you know, they're generally not unsupportive, let's say.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. So tell me about the fact you don't have any formal training. You kind of learned it all on your own. Is there a reason why you haven't pursued that, or are you just too busy making movies?
I'd like to say it's because I'm too busy making movies. I'm actually too busy working in a pizza shop. I didn't go to film school. I barely made it out of high school. So let that be a lesson to you kids. You don't need school to become a guy that makes movies on the internet and works in a pizza shop all day. I didn't have money to go to film school because of aforementioned pizza shop job. And I didn't have the grades. Not that I'm a dumb person, at least I don't think so, but I didn't have the money to go to film school, so I just grabbed a camcorder and started screwing around, and I learned stuff. And, I mean, right now I try my hardest to help other filmmakers out on the internet, because if not for people like that when I was starting out, I wouldn't be where I am right now. There are so many websites. If you just type in filmmaking help in Google or your favorite search bar, you will find tons of websites where people would be more than happy, mine included, to help you out. Right now is the best time to be an independent filmmaker. I mean, with digital video technology, if you have a computer, you can get Windows Movie Maker on your computer default, and you can make a movie. I mean, that's what we started off using, and then we started to upgrade to real equipment. People like Ricky Lee Leonard, who is an excellent makeup effects artist, he's on my MySpace. He taught me loads about how to make blood and everything. Mark and Chris from FaZe Productions are also on my MySpace. They taught me how to make chunks of flesh, which is the nasty bits that rip out of people when they're eaten by zombies. They taught me how to do that. You know, there's so many people that have been online that have helped me out. So when I say I'm self-taught, I mean everyone else taught me what I know. And I just, I just bend the truth a little bit.
That's all right. Let me ask you, your plans when you began, has that changed? I mean, did it become more than you thought it would?
Well, when I started off with Real Splatter, I was really excited about doing this as a career. The other people that were involved, you know, they weren't so excited about it. I'm sure that they still aren't, but, you know, that's cool because they've got their own thing, you know. They all have their own individual pursuits, and that's completely fine. This is mine. I would love to do this. If I died tomorrow, I would die a happy man. As long as I can make movies, I don't care if I'm making a dime, which is probably going to be the case. So, it's all good. I just have to find a pizza shop that's willing to pay me $15 or $17 an hour so I can continue to survive and, make movies.
So, tell me, do you ever think you'll make a full-length film?
Oh, feature-length film? That's the F word around here. The F word scares me a lot. Making a feature-length movie would keep me up at night. terrified. Making a short film, like, we're working on one right now called Womb for Two, which is a sitcom about a 16-year-old fetus that lives in his mom's womb. I'm sure a lot of people in the room have heard about this or seen the pictures. That is the closest we've come to making anything of actual, like, substance with dialogue and characters and acting. That's about 15 minutes long, and that took, well, we were in pre-production for a year, building the set, and, you know, it was, I was very, very busy for 6 months not doing anything productive and lying to people, telling them that I was. So doing a feature film, I would imagine, would take me about 4 or 5 years. And eventually I would love to, but I'm not really sure what I would make a feature-length film about. I have an idea called Hobo Maximus, which is about people that force homeless men into gladiatorial matches a la Gladiator with trash can armor and, you know, like trash picker, tridents, and soda can ring nets, and all sorts of gruesome stuff. I have a scene written with a chariot race and shopping carts with junkyard dogs pulling them. But right now that's a pipe dream that's going to cost me insanely large amounts of money I don't have. But I would love to do it sometime. So if anyone out there in that room wants to donate an obscene amount of money to me, you can contact me at realsplatter@comcast.net.
Excellent. That's a good idea. I just want to announce you're listening to Renee's Book Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Yolanda Renee, and we're talking with Mike Lombardo. He's the writer, director, and producer of Real Splatter Films. Mike, please tell the listeners again where they can see Real Splatter Films in person.
Oh, I would love to, Renee. You can see us at www.realsplatter.com. That's RealSplatter.com. You can also see us at myspace.com/realsplatter, same spelling. And we're also on YouTube. So check us out. Google Real Splatter if you can't spell it right. I'm sure it'll correct it with the internet these days, you know. And check out all of our stuff. It's good fun if you're morally bankrupt.
Okay, we have a caller on the line. I'm going to open the mic so they can ask a question.
Okay.
The area code is 717-413-413. You're on the air.
Yes.
Hello?
I have a question. Hello?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. I want to know, since you're so famous, why do you work in a pizza shop every single day and basically make my life miserable?
Oh, I'm sorry, complete stranger. I have no idea what you're talking about. This is Corinne. I work with Corinne, and she's unfortunately there to hear my rambles about new ideas I have and such. Corinne, the reason that I still work in a pizza shop is because I couldn't bear the thought of not seeing you every day making minimum wage. And this just goes to show you that you, too, can follow your dream and still work a really, you know, low-paying job, and, you know, that's good. You can follow your dream and just do it on the side. You know, I've already come to terms with the fact that I'm going to need a day job the rest of my life so I can continue to follow my passion on the side. And that's cool. That's the one thing that people really need to, you know, that, you know, kids out there that want to do what I'm doing need to understand is that if you try to do this and you just move out to Hollywood with nothing under your belt, you're probably not going to get too far. You know, you got to do your time in the trenches, and always in the back of your mind, keep in mind that you might not become the next Steven Spielberg, but, you know, that's fine, because if you're as passionate about it as I think you all are, then you'll know that, you know, you don't have to make a dime doing this. As long as you're making movies, that's all that really matters. That, and you can pay your rent and buy the things you want to buy, and all that stuff's important, too, but, you know, making movies is cool, too.
Corinne, thank you for calling in. Okay, Mike, I was wondering, do you plan on going out to Hollywood?
I actually was just there not too long ago. My cousin Mace is making his first feature-length movie called Off Hollywood. And I was, you know, I had the pleasure of being able to hang out on set for a few days and be in it, actually. I was ball-gagged and anally violated by a sexy nurse. The movie is about adult films. It's a comedy about them, so hopefully that'll take the oddness out of that last statement. Yeah, I actually went out there. What I learned about real Hollywood sets is that I don't want to be involved with one. Basically, there's about 80 people that walk around complaining that the catering truck is late, and then they stand around, and I suppose they're being paid for doing that. But I'm used to working with 6 or 7 people, close-knit, you know, kind of doing everything that needs done. I mean, I much prefer a skeleton crew of dedicated people as opposed to 100 people that don't, you know, care what they're doing.
Okay, we have another individual trying to get on the line, so I'm going to open it up. That's 717-475-475. You're on the air.
Well, Lombardo.
Hey.
Hey, this is Philstead. How's everything going?
Oh, everything's going great, and I want to thank you. This is Walt Hansinger, who wrote the book The Cabin. You should all check out. And I thank you for plugging me to Renee so I could be on the show tonight. I appreciate
This has been fantastic. Hey, just a couple of things I wanted to talk about. One was, I don't know how many years back, about 10 years back, Phil and I watched a movie called Coven by Mark Borchett. And the whole point of Coven was he made a movie and he also made a documentary of the movie. And the documentary, went on to win the Sundance Award. And when it did, for the longest time, we Phil and I would get together, call him up in his basement and talk to him. Him and the other guy would be down there drinking vodka together. But the long and short, I tried to call about a year ago, couldn't get through, and it turned out that he's been doing all kinds of movies. He was in Black Delilah and The Tunnel and Cabin Fever and Zombie Island.
Wow.
And yeah. So you never know where things lead.
Oh, definitely. I mean, you can get very lucky, and, you know, I would love to make it big. That'd be fantastic. That guy obviously did his time in the trenches. I saw him in a documentary called Horror Business. He was filming another movie. I can't remember the name, but he seems to really be passionate about what he's doing. He also is very passionate about alcohol. So
yeah.
I don't know how well the two things mix, but, you know, if that worked out for him, then awesome. He's just another success story that I can tell people and my parents while I'm still living in their basement.
Yeah, one of the things that was really neat, when I talked to him the first time, I asked him how he made, you know, what he did for money, and he was delivering newspapers.
Yeah, well, it's what you got to do. I mean,
yeah,
it's not a glorious job. In fact, it's never a glorious job. At any given moment, I'm covered in mud and fake blood while people scream at me that they're cold and hungry, and I scream back at them that I can't control the weather and I have no money. So that's,
yeah,
that's how it works.
Yeah, I was over last year.
Their first stand for that.
Yeah, I was over at that shoot, over at the park.
Yeah, name is her park. Yep, that was pretty cold and hungry, wasn't it?
Yeah, whenever we make a film, that's the idea, do it right at the police station.
Yep.
Well, thank you for calling in. We really appreciate the questions. I have another caller, though, who wants to get on, and that is, I think it's Varen von Brunk at 201.
Yes, Julius. Oh, hey, everybody.
201,
hey,
you're on the air.
Oh, Julius,
hey, kids. He runs BarenVonBrunk.com. He also runs my website. He's a very, very good friend of mine. You can see him in all of our movies, and he makes cartoons you should check out as well. Now that
basically,
the plug is over, what do you want?
Okay, well, all right. For those of you who don't know, I'm actually basically in charge of Real Spider's art department. I run the website, make all the graphics, anything that requires Flash. Well, I don't do the video editing or audio editing. Well, I help out that every now and then, but I do a lot of the drawing. In Wolver 2, I design all the comic book covers for the – there's a scene where they're reading comic books. There's a part of the video game on TV. I actually created that, which you'll see. It looks like a real Sega game, by the way, because I'm actually just like Mike. I'm 100% self-taught. I never stepped foot in college or anything. I've been doing Photoshop and Flash and everything since I was probably like 18 or 19. I've been making websites since I was probably about 11. And like I said, I have not a shred of formal education. I've taught myself.
Story.
Wait, what?
I was telling the viewers out there, the listeners, rather, another pseudo success story. He also works a day job and does his art on the side. So that's just another real life example for all you kids out there who want to.
I work in a small factory in my town. I walk there every day. I don't even have a car. And despite that, I still have time to, you know, I make time to act in Real Splatter. I do the website and everything. So just goes to show you, you know, you don't need to. You know, it's a big fancy job to do what you want to do to have fun. Just do what you want to do. Like David Crockett once said, as long as you know that you're certain you're right, then go ahead. Actually, I think I might have screwed it up. You know, I'm late. I have to go to bed.
Just as much as they were the day they were spoken. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, kind of, yeah. But anyway, but seriously, though, I got to get to bed soon. But anyway, check out Wolver 2. I play the dad. People say I look like Bob Saget in the movie, by the way. I play a really flamboyant a flamboyant guy in a Canadian tuxedo, you know, like denim jacket, denim pants and everything, cheesy cowboy boots. Picture kind of Bob Saget's already pretty much flamboyant. So basically picture a worse version of Bob Saget. And my name's George Crankton in the movie. Pretty goofy character. Also, in Homemade Roofies, that was back when I was kind of fat back then, so I wouldn't recommend watching it. I've lost a lot of weight since then. But back in Homemade Roofies, I was, obviously you can tell by my voice, I was like the hammer hitter guy. I was the one who like, see, man, I told you these things work. You know, if I bought the beans and everything. Take My Breath Away, I was the main character. I was the guy that stole her breath. You know, the guy drinking the little boy's piss out of the flask. We did a cartoon called Masters of Doom, the animated series. It was actually a tribute to the video game Doom. We showed it to George Romero of id Software. I played the voice of John Romero, of course. And you played, John Carmack.
Julius is a critical part of Real Splatter for many, many years now.
Yeah, yeah.
But all right, Julius, well, we're going to open the line again. I'm going to cut it and play Radio Host for a minute because we're kind of running short on time. Sorry, Julius, but I will talk to you later.
All right, I gotta get to bed. Okay, I'll see you guys later.
Thank you for calling in.
Yep.
That was excellent.
Quite the character.
Okay, I wanted to ask you real quick, and then I'm going to announce the show one more time and take a short break to do a commercial. Actually, I do commercials, believe it or not. Where do you get your ideas from?
Where do I get my ideas from?
Yeah.
Massive loads of hallucinogenic drugs, which just goes to show you kids that drugs are cool. Now, that was a bad joke and very poor taste. I'm sorry. Drugs are very bad. I am just a really, really whacked out guy. Some people say that, you know, they do drugs to get ideas. I've never done that. I don't really have dreams to give me ideas. I just will be sitting, like, making a cheesesteak in my pizza shop job, and out of the blue something will happen, or I'll just think of something and laugh to myself hysterically for about 10 minutes. Whoever's unlucky enough to be standing next to me, usually Corinne, I'll start rambling incessantly about how hilarious it would be if I made a movie out of it, and then I toss the idea around with a couple friends or people that I've tied to chairs nearby, and we kind of flesh it out, and then I spend all night writing the script, and then 4 or 5 years later, the movie may or may not get made.
Okay. I just want to ask you one more question real quick before it leaves my head. When are you going to have the female as the heroine in your show?
The female as the heroine?
Yeah.
When we find one who's dumb enough to act in our movies again.
Oh, really? You have a hard time getting the women to do it?
Surprisingly, yes. We actually, our friend Sarah Otis, she is our model. She did a picture set you can see on the website called Real Splatter and his number one fan, where I carved Real Splatter into her stomach.
Uh-huh.
And then we have another friend of ours, Danielle McCarthy, who was just in Take My Breath Away and Womb for Two. They're the only two chicks that have no problem with what we're doing. Most other people find it incredibly offensive or in very poor taste, so they don't want to be involved with it. And then even more people say they want to be involved in it, but when it comes down to actually shooting, they don't get back to me or, you know, call back. Then there's the other people that want to be in it but don't live in the area, which is unfortunate. But, you know, in the future, I would love to have, a Ripley-esque character, just like Skylar Phalanges was a female lead.
I think it would be an excellent addition to your repertoire, and I would be happy to help write the script for it.
I would be more than happy. In fact, you could even act in it, Renee. That would be fantastic.
Okay, I'll do that. Just don't ask me to eat. Anyone can do the eating, but I'm not going to eat. No, thank you. Okay, I got to take a quick commercial break here. You're listening to Renee's Book Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Yolanda Renee, and we're talking with Mike Lombardo, writer, director, and producer of Real Splatter Films. Now, at this time of the evening, I always take a short break to discuss my favorite charity, and the charity is called Books for Boots. You can go to www.booksforboots.org, and that's BOOKS. forboots.org. It's a charity that's founded by an author, and what you can do is donate your books, and they will go directly to the wounded soldiers who are coming back from Iraq or Afghanistan. Or you can donate royalties or cash. That goes to help pay for the gasoline or plane tickets to get the family of those soldiers by their bedside. So I just do a very short spiel on that. That is founded by Rick Galinas. He's the author of The Vengeance Trap, and he will be on the show September 11th to talk about his book and his charity. Okay, Mike, back to you.
I want to add to that. My two older brothers are actually veterans of the Iraq War, so them and their friends would definitely appreciate all of you donating your books. And I know that Brian Keene also supports that charity. In fact, speaking of zombies, J.L. Bourne, who is a fantastic author, actually wrote Day by Day Armageddon, his first zombie novel, while he was stationed over in Iraq. So
excellent.
Just those charities actually do mean a lot to a lot of people, so I think that they're very, very worthwhile to support.
Thank you very much, Mike. I appreciate that. I really do. Now, I know I said that at the beginning, I think that the Brady Games film was one of my favorites.
But, a lot of people's favorites, actually.
But to be honest, the one I enjoyed the absolute most was Where Has All the Laughter Gone?
Oh, thank you. Very, very few people like that.
Oh, you know why I liked it? Because I hate clowns.
You hate clowns, really?
I don't hate them. That's probably a horrible thing to say, but I've always had...
My father was a clown.
I've always had...
personal
I had a fear of clowns. Don't ask me where it came from. But
oh, yeah?
I have always had a fear of clowns. I've never found them funny. I've found them frightening. So
well,
that
especially in the zombie commercial, my buddy who's in the chat room right now, Matt Emmert, who's saying, hell yeah, clown zombie. He was actually our clown zombie in that movie. And he
oh,
knows
really?
Firsthand my sick fetish for clowns. It's bizarre. I love them. I can't get enough of their painted mugs. I think that they are scary. Oh, they are scary as hell. They're creepy.
Yeah,
I mean,
see?
Folks like John Wayne Gacy would give anyone the willies when they think about clowns. I mean, he was a sick man.
Yeah, yeah. So maybe I don't know where it comes from. I just know that I've always had a fear of clowns. So I really did like Where Has All the Laughter Gone?
I actually made Where Has All the Laughter Gone because I have an irrational fear of pretentious art house films. that was what we were making fun of. That was an example of style over substance that movie. Well, I suppose it has something to say by making fun of those movies, but there was absolutely no reason for it to exist, just like most pretentious art house films. So I thought that it would be pretty fitting to have a clown commit suicide because kind of like a really outlandish imagery to use, in accordance with the scratched film and the silent film look that so many film school students love to adopt for some reason, even though they shot on high def and spent way too much time throwing filters over top of it to make it look like they didn't. But, you know, that's a stylistic choice that I suppose they would take that I wouldn't. But anyway.
Well, the chat room is backing me up because there's a few people in there who have a fear of clowns or don't like clowns either. So I'm not the only one in the world.
Yeah, I saw someone mention Killer Clowns from Outer Space, FNCBN, I believe. And I love Killer Clowns from Outer Space. That is one of my favorite movies. Oh, that's Ethan. I'm sorry. I'm an idiot. Wow, I don't know how I misread that one. But Killer Clowns from Outer Space is a fantastic movie that everyone out there in Radio Land needs to watch. Good stuff.
So do you write all your own scripts, or do you get help?
I write most of them. I mean, obviously people in real life inspire me either through their extreme ignorance or by them pissing me off a whole lot. My friends occasionally will come down, like with Julius and Scott Shaw, who was another friend of mine who's in Womb for Two. We co-wrote that script together. I've had other friends, like they're involved in the writing process in the sense that I will sit down with them for an hour and we'll toss ideas back and forth, which kind of flesh out the story. So in a way, they definitely, I co-write the scripts with pretty much everybody. Very few of the scripts are completely mine. And usually you can tell the movies that are like that because they're really, really bad. That's all I got to say about that one.
Okay. So what are some of the responses to your work? You said you've kind of alienated some folks with it.
Oh, yeah. I've gotten hate mail from Russia, fan mail from Africa. All sorts of people have said different things. One particular guy, I wish I had it pulled up in front of me so I could say his name and plug his extreme ignorance, commented on Homemade Roofies on YouTube, and you guys can all check that out, telling me that I was a sick bastard and that I was horrible, that the movie was disgusting and that we hate women and everything. And to that, I had to wonder what exactly he was looking for when he found a movie called Homemade Roofies. So it just goes to show you that all the people out there that might trash your work, you know, all filmmakers out there, you have to think what exactly their life is like and what they're doing and, you know, why they would go out of their way to trash something that you obviously spent so much time and effort on. But, you know, some people are just dicks is basically what it boils down to. And, I mean, some people, you know, give honest critiques of my movies and tell me they're poorly made. And, you know, for the most part, they're very, very right. But, you know, I've gotten people that adore it. I mean, obviously, Josh was a big fan. I mean, he just told me that he was bowing down to worship me. I haven't started a cult yet, but I'd like to. That would definitely tip the scales in our favor of people liking the movies as opposed to not. But generally, most people do like them. A few folks, you know, have not liked them so much. And you can comb through the YouTube comments and find those folks if you really want to.
That's the one thing I didn't do. I don't think that's necessary, but it's interesting that, you know, it's a film, it's artistic, and I know you don't like that word.
Oh,
but
that's fine. I love the artistic, you know, the A word. I love it. That will inflate my ego further than by all means use it.
So I don't think it's necessary, and if you're not gonna enjoy something, why even click on it and watch it in the first place? Unless
you
just simply enjoy criticizing, which a lot of people do. I found
that our buddy Bamford called them internet trolls. That's a term I see thrown around a lot, and I definitely agree that some people just have a chip on their shoulder, and instead of going out and having the courage to follow their dream, they like to sit in their parents' basement and trash other people's work for no good reason.
Yeah, that gives some people some pleasure. But let's get on to something more interesting, like putting the laughter back in slaughter. I like that tagline. How did you come up with that?
That was actually, I don't remember exactly what the conversation was that led to that, but a friend of mine or someone while I was at work had mentioned something about spelling laughter or slaughter has laughter in it, and I thought that was great. So just kind of came up with a tagline, putting the laughter back in slaughter. I mean, obviously, if you've watched our films, you know that holds pretty true for what we do. I mean, it's, like I said, they're not really straight horror films. They're pretty much just really violent comedies. So, you know, our aim is to make people feel guilty for laughing. Like in Where's the Laughter Gone, that was actually something that someone told me, that they felt guilty for laughing so hard at that clown putting a bullet in his head. So that made me feel good. You know, when I can disrupt somebody's moral conditioning, then I feel very good. It makes me feel like a big man.
I watched the video that you did for Room for Two. So when is Room for Two going to be out? When is it going to be available on the...
Room for Two, actually, I have a rough cut of that done right now. That's clocking in about 13 minutes. Once I get off my lazy ass and start working on it again, it should be finished soon. We have a whole slew of work to do, sound effects, color correction, all sorts of other technical mumbo-jumbo I'm not really going to get into because it's not interesting. But basically a couple more weeks, maybe a month max, but it will be out there. People have waited over a year for this, so they can wait longer. That's my philosophy.
I want to announce one last time, we're getting late in the hour, that you're listening to Renee's Book Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Yolanda Renee, and we're talking with Mike Lombardo, who's the writer, director, and producer of Real Splatter Films. Okay, Mike, one last time, tell the listeners where they can see Real Splatter Films.
Oh, they can go to realsplatter.com, also available on myspace.com/realsplatter. Check us out on YouTube, and don't forget to subscribe to our channel.
You're getting that down very good. Thank you. And
oh,
Real Splatter is R-E-E-L-S-P-L-A-T-T-E-R.
That's
okay.
Right.
Mike, how's it going so far?
Things are going very good. I'm very happy to be here. People are asking all sorts of cool questions, and it's allowing me to ramble about all sorts of nonsense.
And you seem to be a very good rambler. I like that in my guests.
Oh, thank you very much. One of my favorite things to do is to spew endless amounts of nonsense that no one else cares about. So I'm glad to be here.
So what advice would you give to aspiring indie filmmakers? And I see you've got quite a following of them.
Any of the advice that I would give to my few fans is that you should never give up. If you want to make movies, then don't let anything stop you. Like I said, I work in a pizza shop. If you work at Toys R Us as a Night Stalker, get off, come home, sleep for an hour, get that camcorder, gather your friends, and start shooting stuff, you know? It's never been easier to be an independent filmmaker. I mean, now that you can edit on your own computer, you can get a camcorder for $300 at Circuit City, there's no excuse to not go out and shoot stuff. I mean, you're not going to make Titanic in the first 2 weeks. Actually, I don't think Titanic's a good movie at all, so it's not really a good example. But, you know, you're not going to make Dead Alive after a week worth of shooting. So just keep practicing. Don't give up. And most importantly, buy our T-shirts at realsplatter.com. That'll make you, you will announce to the world that you truly are an independent filmmaker and you support independent art.
So what would you call the most important tool of an indie filmmaker?
The Internet. The Internet is the most important tool an independent filmmaker can hope to utilize. Anyone that's watched my G4 interview has heard me say that about 8 times. The internet is fantastic. The internet is how I'm talking to you right now on Renee's Book Talk. I mean, that's proof right there. I have a website. You can watch my movies. If you live in Russia, you can watch my movies and tell me that I suck. I mean, that's wonderful. Before, you know, back in the 80s, with guys like Sam Raimi and Peter Jackson, George Romero, they were restricted to wherever they could get screenings. Now anybody can put anything they want on YouTube, any of those. MySpace is another great tool. I mean, it's never been a better time. You know, you can get seen by anybody. You can get noticed, and I think that that's a wonderful thing. So, you know, the internet is great.
Ethan says he heard you might lose your studio. Is that true?
Might lose my studio. My studio is a basement right now.
So your family's kicking you out, huh?
Something like that. My mom is not very happy with me, like, splattering the walls in fake blood. Like, as I'm actually pacing along my basement floor, my feet are sticking to the concrete because of the blood and whatnot. So I think that I've probably, outworn my welcome. So hopefully I'll be finding my own, real splatter studio elsewhere, you know. So if anyone needs a roommate and can put up with me, then I'd be more than happy to hear your inquiry at realsplatter@comcast.net.
Well, I was just going to tell you, we have a small place out in the country. If you need a place to shoot, just let me know. You can use the backyard or the garage or our basement, which is very tiny.
Oh, I love it. I love going to people's houses and videotaping stuff. Trust me.
Well, we've got a good one for that. It's an old farmhouse. So you're a very young man.
Well,
you're only 21, right?
Yeah, people tell me I look like I'm 17, though, probably because my sparse bits of peach fuzz that facial hair.
So where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Where do I see myself in 5 years? Ideally, not on death row. unless they find those bodies, I don't think I'm going to have a problem with that. But in 5 years, I would like to have at least conceptualized a feature-length film. At the very least, I could upload my consciousness onto realsplatter.com because, you know, 5 years is the future, and technology will have evolved to the point where people can live in the internet. And you can quote me on that. I would like to, my friend Matt told me I could live in the ghouls room, so I think I might take him up on that. But I would like to continue Real Splatter, you know. I would love to keep making short films and hopefully entertaining all of you people out there. And, you know, Womb for Two is going to be our first film festival submission, so hopefully people will enjoy that and I can win some film festival awards and get some street cred, which is what we in the film business like to call it. You know, that's just street slang for those of you who don't know. But, you know, hopefully making movies in 5 years to cap off that useless ramble I just let out.
So are you a goal setter?
A goal setter?
Yes.
Yes. I love to set goals. It doesn't usually happen very well, but you know, that's not necessarily true. If you would have told me when I was 14 that I'd be pacing this basement right now talking on your show, then I wouldn't have believed you. So I think that my goal has always been just to continue to do Real Splatter. I mean, that's worked out pretty well. Once I set my mind to something, then I tenaciously cling to it like a barnacle on a ship hull. So I think that, setting goals is pretty good. I just recently lost 60 pounds by going to a gym, which I never thought that I would ever do, but I kept my mind to it, and I did it, so I suppose I can continue to make short films.
Excellent.
Well, I did kick my pizza habit, so.
Maybe it's just working in the pizza store that did that.
Yeah.
I remember I worked for Kentucky Fried Chicken. I still can't eat it today.
Oh, I'm sorry you had to work in a restaurant. food service is an exquisite hell like none other.
Hey, that's where everybody starts out, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, it's not so bad. I mean, I have to work with really cool people like Amber and Corinne and Jeff. Although I wouldn't really call them people more than, you know, kids that happen upon the pizza shop and work there. But, you know, it's a good time. It gives me time to think because of all the, you know, monotonous labor that I can kind of turn my brain off and concentrate on Real Splatter. You know, so that works. Just don't try to get food from me because I'll probably screw it up because I'm thinking about putting chainsaws through clown stomachs and, how best to amputate limbs in a movie.
So don't order the pizza from you, is that it?
Oh, actually, my pizza's fantastic.
Okay. So your inspiration for Chainsaw Chinks versus Santa Claus, now that had to have been controversial when you let that one out.
Surprisingly, no.
You're kidding.
For those who don't know, Chainsaw Chink vs. Santa Claus was the third movie we did way back when I was still in high school. Probably one of the most blasphemous things you'll ever have the displeasure of watching on the internet. We said some pretty horrible things in that movie. People actually didn't mind. Most people took it in stride and thought it was pretty funny, which surprised me. A couple people were a bit upset by it, but those people that know me personally know that's just my sense of humor and, you know, that I would never, you know, claim to believe in those things in court. So that's the important thing, is that I can pretend that I'm not a terrible person and that it's just in the movies. But the inspiration for that was the movie is about Santa Claus putting out a hit on Jesus because he is trying to usurp Christmas from him. So the point of the movie was kind of the commercialized ideal of Christmas, which Santa Claus represents, you know, going to the store, buying presents, as opposed to the religious aspects of the movie. And, you know, the two kind of clash, and then that kind of got abandoned after the first 4 minutes, and then it was just excuses to kill people. But, you know, even back then I was trying to inject little bits of stuff, you know, meaning and whatnot into the movies. But if you don't care about it, then, you know, don't worry about it. You know, don't worry about it. So, it, yeah. I kind of forgot what I was talking about. I'm sorry.
That's okay. No, there's no problem. We've got about 4 minutes left, and I have a new caller on the line. I'm going to open it, and they can ask the last question, maybe.
Okay.
732, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Mike. This is Jeff Heimbach, Bamford. Just calling to say cue for the good work, dude. Us Brian Keene fans got to stick together.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Brian Keene is a great guy. I'm really looking forward to your movie, The Ties That Bind. So
yeah, I'm looking forward to Womb for Two, man. I've been waiting for a while to see it.
Excellent. So have I.
Yeah. So, yeah, get up off your ass and finish it.
I intend to, and hopefully I can get my ass down to Jersey when you're shooting Ties That Bind and harass you.
Yeah, dude, definitely. You're more than welcome to come on down.
Excellent, excellent.
But yeah, all right. That was it.
Thank you for calling in. We appreciate it.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, Mike. What do you do when you're not filming?
Nothing. When I'm not filming, I'm wishing that I was filming, complaining to others that I'm not filming, or blaming other people for the fact that we're not filming. Most of my life revolves around real splatter. I like to watch movies, you know, read Brian Keene books, take long walks on the beach, you know, cannibalize people. I like to read Jeff Gonzalez books. There's another plug that I can slip in there before anyone can stop me. Read Survivor. You know, I love to do, you know, things that normal, demented 21-year-olds like to do. I like to walk around at night and practice gore effects and play with fake blood. You know, the normal stuff.
The normal stuff.
Apocalypse.
Sounds good. So what is your next film that you're going to be doing?
After Womb for Two, we have a Dr. Chud Gets Inked is a documentary about my tattoo, but that's not really a movie. The next project I'd like to shoot is called Long Pig, which, for those of you who don't know, is a euphemism for cannibalism. And that kind of gives away one of the small twists in that movie, which I like to describe to people as an emotional roller coaster like you've never experienced. Actually, that's a complete lie. It's probably about 5 minutes of me and my friends rambling about stuff and just being us. And then, you know, there's some cannibalism and gratuitous violence, kind of like our other movies. Basically, the point of that movie is just to give people an idea of what we're like, you know, just us hanging out. Because most of the lines are actually taken from, you know, us hanging out and arguing about where we're going to eat and all that kind of stuff. So that's the next project. Then after that, we have Carnal House, which is a love story about necrophilia that I'd love to shoot soon. Clown Shock, another clown movie. So we've got all sorts of stuff. Just ignore the upcoming section of the website because none of it's true. But,
Robert.
Yeah,
we're getting down to the end of the hour, and I want to say thank you to Mike for being here. This was an interesting interview, and I really enjoyed it. We'll have to do it again.
Oh, we will definitely. I will be here anytime you need me.
I will let you know, because I definitely want you to come back. Of course, I want you to finish Womb for Two first.
Oh, yeah, I will try to do what I can to get that finished. Everyone can see it.
That's a good thing, Ben. And I want to tell you one more time that you can see Mike's movies on www.myspace.com/realsplatter, RealSplatter, and at his website www.realsplatter.com, RealSplatter.
And I expect emails and MySpace messages from all of you people out there, so I know that you're actually listening and not off playing DS while my interview is going on.
So I want to ask everyone to please come back for the next show. I've enjoyed Mike tonight, and it's hard to get the smile off my face. But I got to get serious here for a minute. And say, this is Yolanda Renee for Renee's Book Talk. Our show was at 10 p.m. tonight, Eastern Daylight Time. But our next show is August 7th. It's Mark Pickering, author of Story of the Sands. August 14th, we have Judith Columbo, author of Night Crimes. On August 21st, we have G. Lloyd Helm, the author of Design. And August 28th, Aaron Lazar, the author of Tremolo, Cry of the Loon. So mark your calendars for those dates. And remember, our show will now be at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Not 10, 9 p.m. So show up at the right time for me, please. Again, you're listening to Renee's Book Talk with your host, Yolanda Renee, and writer, director, producer, Mike Lombardo. This was Thursday night, July 31st at 10 p.m. So thank you all and good night. Okay, Mike, that's it. That's the show.
Awesome. Awesome.
So what do you think of it?
That was a blast, an absolute blast.
Well, I do want to have you back again. I had, like, I think 20 more questions I didn't even get to, but it was fun opening the lines and letting people speak to you and ask their questions.
Whenever you need me, I will be here.
And yes. I was serious. If you ever want to, you know, film out here in the country.
I definitely am serious about taking up on that, trust me. There's no shortage of need for location.
Just let me know, and if I come up with a script, I'll email it to you, and you can tear it apart and write it the way you want. But I do want to see a female heroine.
Oh, I would love to have that.
I mean, I don't care if she gets killed or not. I just want to see the female lead.
I think that we can do something along those lines.
It was fun. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for putting me on. That was a blast. And actually, in a week or two, I'm going to be picking up your book. I can get that off your website, right?
Yeah.
Excellent. I would love to read that.
Thank you.
I was reading about it and how you moved to Alaska, and I thought that sounds very, very interesting. So,
thank you. I appreciate that. Listen, I just wanted to say that there are other blog talk radio shows
mm-hmm.
that would love to have you on. All you need to do is contact them.
Oh, I would love to.
Okay, and I'll send some interest out there for you. I'll check into it for you. And see if I can't get some of them to invite you on, because there's movie geeks and then there's horror. You know, they do all of them. And on the 30th of October, it would be nice if you could be there for Angelisa's 2-hour show before Halloween.
That would be great.
So
send me the links and I'll definitely contact them. This is a blast.
Okay, I'll do that, because I think it would really benefit you a lot, because you've got some real talent and I would really like to see you get to where you want to go.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And I'm going to get in touch with Brian Keene and JF Gonzalez and try to get them on your show at some point.
That's great. That's a deal. I mean, I like helping others, and I like the fact that you're in the same frame of mind to help the individual indie filmmaker out there.
Awesome.
Internet is awesome, and that's the way we're going to do it.
Oh, that's the best way to do it. Like, I go out of my way to plug all of my favorite authors and writers, everybody, anybody that I like, bands, whatever. I am a promotion machine. I just wish that more people were like us. I mean, this is great that you started a show to help give a voice to other artists. I think that's fantastic, and I wish that more people would do stuff like that instead of just sitting and watching it and having that be the end of it. Secretly liking it, they could, you know, go out and contact other people or contact the artists. Even just telling them that you like what you watched goes such a long way, because that's what really keeps me going, is people telling me they enjoyed the stuff, because it does get kind of dark and depressing here in Real Splatter HQ sometimes.
And that's the way it is, I think, in a lot of people's headquarters, you know what I mean? But it's really nice to see someone as young as you are out there plugging something and trying to get the younger generation involved and off their butt, so to speak, and doing what they dream of doing.
Definitely.
And that, to me, is one of the most admirable things of any individual, is to follow their dream and make it happen. So I really appreciate your being here. And like I said, I do want to do it again.
Oh, definitely. Whenever you have a slot that no one is going to fill, call me. I will do it in a heartbeat.
All right, Mike. Thank you so much.
Thank you. When will I have the archive of this?
I will send it to you right after they publish it on here. I'll send it right over.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. Good night.
Yep. Thanks. Good night. Bye.
Bye-bye.